To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Rolling and Tumbling is back on the air with vintage blues, R&B, the early days of rock and roll, the British Invasion, Mondays, 4 to 6 p.m. It's Rolling and Tumbling, take two.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Good afternoon. This is the WHFR Journal. My name's Alan Mazurek. Glad to be with you this Friday afternoon, along with Susan McGraw. Boy, Susan, first time we've spoken to each other on air, at least on the Journal here in the year 2022. Welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I figure I can only say that one or two more times because it's, you know, past the midway point of January.
It's still January, though.
Here it is, but it is still January, yeah. But Happy New Year, Alan, and a Happy New Year to all and for all, hopefully moving forward. Yes, we're looking for peace and prosperity and mostly good health in this new year. I know that's the top of my list. So we've got some fun stuff to talk about today.
We do.
Certainly to supplement the normal that we hope to get somewhat back to, the new normal, as we're calling it. But we move forward and we can't do it without the support and creativity of so many intelligent and passionate people in this college community. And our special guest for this first segment is very much one of those people. So look forward to our interview today.
Indeed. And it is tied to, obviously, something that's going to be happening in just a few days, actually, coming up, Tuesday and Wednesday here, virtually through HFC. And this is obviously a tradition going back many, many years. As we welcome students back to the campus, we have to welcome them back with our welcome back days here at Henry Ford College. And that has taken on, obviously, different forms over the course of the past couple of years, but the opportunity to get together and to share and to just sort of reintegrate ourselves as a campus community is really one of the strong suits of this particular program that takes place here at the college, you know, pretty much every semester. And we'll just talk about it now for winter 22 semester. Welcome back days here at Henry Ford College coming up next week.
Yeah, we love this. We participate as a telecommunication department, of course, as a radio station as well, for recruitment and opportunity to let students know that there are options available beyond the either traditional or virtual classroom to be a part of this campus community. And we call it a community because it's exactly what it is. And we know that it is always a challenge to put an event like this together. But I think this time around, even a bigger challenge. And at this point, I'll bring our guest in. Welcome to the airwaves here in 2022, Ms. Cassandra Fluker, who is the Director of Student Activities at Henry Ford College. She wears way more hats than I would dare to get into at this time. But Cassandra, we are so grateful that you're here and present and making this event available to students. It's got to be a daunting task, but I'm looking at the schedule and, oh, it looks like so much fun. So we welcome you and we thank you for doing what you do. And we look forward to getting some details from you. So where would you like to begin, my dear?
Hi, Happy New Year, Susan and Alan. It's a pleasure to be here as always. So thank you for the warm welcome. You had mentioned Michelle Featherston retiring. That's a bittersweet moment. I miss her already. We've been working together for the past 18 and a half years. So we got accustomed to one another with our work relationship, and it's different. So I'm trying to develop a new normal here. So I don't have anybody in place right now. So the work falls on me and my assistant, Mandy Earl, who's the student activities associate. Yeah. So we're working our way through it.
Yeah, we're confident that it's all going to be great, just different. But we know we're in capable hands. And we also know that this event can attract students that normally wouldn't have an opportunity to participate with other students in activities, which is what makes it so important. This one in particular, it's that feeling of isolation as a student. Some students I know that have never even been on our campus before, and not getting that social time with other classmates because they're all asynchronous right now, potentially. You know, it could be for some students. So Welcome Days, Welcome Back Days is that supplement. Tell us exactly what we're expecting and who should get involved, Cassandra, and why.
Okay, well, with our virtual Winter 22 Welcome Back Days, as you said, it is virtual. We are not going to return to campus, probably in the fall, I guess. But right now it's virtual, and as you said, it's accessible to more students, so a wider student population. So with the event, students can participate using a laptop, a tablet, or any type of mobile device to log into Zoom because they take place in the Zoom platform. So Tuesday, January 25th, we have a pop culture trivia game. And this usually attracts a lot of students because we ask questions that they know that they're in, about topics that they're into, such as Britney Spears, the Kardashians, football, basketball, things of that nature. So we will have two rounds of the Kahoot game with prizes. So we have a, man, it's some type of device. I don't know if it's a tablet or MP3, but anyway, nice gifts. I can't recall at this moment. And Wednesday, we're going to have a student club fair. That's January 26th from 11:30 to 12:30. And I welcome all students who would like to be part of a student club to join us. Student leaders will speak on the mission of their clubs and also any past and upcoming activities that students can get involved in. And also we have a few faculty members who participate as well, so the students can get to know more faculty as well.
And a lot of those club activities still taking place either virtually or some of them with maybe some limited face-to-face interaction that's been going on here on campus. And it's just great and obviously always important for those organizations and what they add to campus life, and also an opportunity for students to get involved in things outside of the classroom. So that's the Student Clubs Fair, which is scheduled for Wednesday at 11:30. That's another one that needs to be registered for beforehand. Let's sort of get into that for a second. I'm assuming we need to register for them beforehand if they're all going to be taking place via Zoom or online. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what I request, for students to register in advance and then the day of just log on. It's my way of keeping tally of what to expect before the actual event.
All right. And then so just probably hfcc.edu, the webpage for the college. If it's not up there on the front page at the moment, going to take a look at things, they would be able to find it through the student activities office in the search bar, I would imagine, would be the best place to go.
Oh, you know what, Alan? I thought it was on our main college website, hfcc.edu.
Okay.
You know, I noticed that the activities, they sort of rotate as far as getting time, promo time, but it is on a website.
I notice if you look on the calendar on the right side of our homepage, it's listed a little bit down for those particular dates. And what that tells me is that there's a lot going on at HFCC. So that's cool. It's a good thing. And I love the fact that we have all this information at our fingertips. But yeah, if you click on that, the listing under the dates of 2526, it will show up there, and then and the links are available. And I'd love to circle back, Cassandra, to this Kahoot thing for people that have never played Kahoot. It is so much fun. Actually, there is a free version of Kahoot that's not necessarily the best, and I know that your people, Cassandra, are going to use really good ones. It is a wonderful way to bring people together wherever they are to join in on some like-minded discussions and do some voting, and it's just so clever and so well done. Students, you are going to love it. You're going to love this experience. Adults are going to love it. Try it in this capacity for the first time, and you'll be hooked. I'm telling you, it's just the coolest thing. Cassandra, I'm sure you agree.
Yes, I do. 100% students love it. My first time trying it, I believe it was like 3 years ago. I never heard of it, but it was popular. And when I tried it, I really enjoyed myself. I'm like, okay, I like this, what you call Kahoot.
Yeah, excellent. Good. And we really do need to reach students with things that are interesting and fun to them. It can't be like a class assignment or else. Why, you know, we got enough of those, so why bother, right? So get people where their interests are and go from there. And some cool prize ideas, too. That's, wow.
That's impressive. Yeah. It is a way for students to come together and get to know one another. Usually if a question is asked that they don't know or all know, then that gets them to talking to one another. And then they exchange email addresses after that. So that's one benefit of joining the Kahoot game.
Nice. What else about Welcome Days is most important to you or are you most proud of?
As I mentioned, the club fair, because it's important for students to get involved. You know, college, receiving a college education is more than just going to class. It's also getting involved with campus activities. You learn in the classroom as well as outside of the classroom. So, and these are you gain some of the skills that employers look for. And what students do in campus life, they can put it on their resume and make themselves more marketable. So it's a growth aspect to getting involved.
Yeah, that's fantastic. When we move into that art and science, and Alan as an instructor understands this, that art and science of blurring the lines between having fun and learning, which is always important for students. I feel like many of the things that go on in an event like this are designed. There's sort of the subtext of what we hope students will get out of it, even though on the face value, it's just, let's have fun. Let's do rice writing. You know, let's have a game. Let's do those kinds of things. But it really is so much more than that. And we appreciate your effort in keeping this tradition going, this longstanding tradition at the college. It is very important, as we all know. And so thank you for your commitment to doing that. And I know that one of your hats is providing some very pointed and very specific information for students on other topics, whether academic or life skill types of topics. That's important too. And we are always focused in this day and age on trying to just be the best version of ourselves and take care of ourselves as challenges arise in this unusual time to have some skills to do that. So there are some other events going on. We'd love to have you share them if you would. And we know these are open and available for free for students, for our community. One of them involves financial literacy, which is important, and then the other one, wellness in general. Tell us about those, Cassandra.
Okay. First, I want to go back a little bit. You had mentioned rice writing. I forgot to mention that. That's a fun activity that's going to happen on Wednesday, January 26th from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So I've never had this novelty activity come to campus before, but I'm working with Student Council, who represents the voice of the student body. And they saw it and said, oh, this would be nice to have. So it does look interesting. The artist will write your name or your word of choice on this small grain of rice and put it into some type of container that you can wear around your neck or just sit on your desk. And that's it becomes a keepsake item. So at each welcome back day, we like to give out a keepsake item for the students to remember the event. So I'm looking forward to that as well, because I don't know the history behind rice writing.
Thank you for circling back to that. I appreciate it. And yeah, it is, it's unique and interesting. And I suppose they don't need a lot of postage to mail of, you know, a grain of rice into the mail, but you got to check your envelope to make sure you find it in there. But sounds very exciting. Very cool.
Well, it's going to be in a small container.
Oh, so. Good. Oh, good. Okay.
Right. With that rice, that small grain of rice. Yeah. You will oversee it. It might fall out the envelope before you open it.
There you go.
Yeah. Great. So welcome back. As you know, that's our first event, first big event for each semester, each fall and winter semester. And then as we go on, we have other activities, social activities that the clubs put on. And I put on more professional type activities to help with students' life skills. So one in particular is the financial literacy series. We sponsored one last semester during the fall semester. It went over very well. And some of those sessions were recorded too. So if anyone wants to see a session from the fall semester, just email me at crfluker@hfcc.edu and I can email those links to you. But very valuable information. They're facilitated by a representative of the American Credit Counseling Organization. And we spoke on what we speak on. Students learned about creating a budget just on the surface, learned about how to read credit reports, and how to open up a banking, checking savings account type of thing. So yeah, they were very beneficial. So we're going to continue that series during the winter. And with the first one, we're going to get more into creating a budget, because students, they heard of the word budget, but they really don't know how to set it up. And they really don't know how to manage their funds when it comes to a budget. So that's what the presenter will get more into detail about.
And this is a series of financial literacy workshops. How do they get more information and sign up for that?
Okay, this information should be on the website, again, okay. hfcc.edu. I'm going to have to go and check, but I was told that the information is there. I hope it is. If not, they can email me personally or directly at crfluker@hfcc.edu, or they can email studentactivities@hfcc.edu. Okay, so either way, they can get the information. And yes, they are workshops/presentations. One for the month of February, one for the month of March, and one for the month of April. Okay. Now, I would like to say this is what the students told me they want, because my programming, it is intentional. I poll the students at the end of each school year and ask them what types of activities or programs that will benefit them. And the results from last school year, the two top categories were wellness programs, physical and mental, and money management planning. So the that's mental, how I come up pretty much.
With mental that. Wellness seems to be obviously as important now as ever, especially, again, as we talk about, the lack of opportunity to make connections and to be around people and stuff like that. It does not surprise me at all that that's something that is a priority for students and hopefully, rightfully so, should be something that continues on into the future. What when you talk about mental wellness, what kinds of things are we looking at? I mean, traditionally on the campus environment, we've always had these, sort of like stress reducing things as we head into final exam week and stuff like that. But it's more than just those few weeks out of the year at this point, is it not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We offered wellness presentations throughout the school year. And we also promote our counseling services as well, because these are just, I guess, supplemental to students' mental health care. So we offer these presentations on how to reduce anxiety, reduce stress, even reduce signs of depression. So they're really helpful. They're sort of life coaches that we bring in to speak on these types of things, like coping with difficult feelings that students may be experiencing, how to cope with what we're going through, COVID, the pandemic, and also sticking with their academics, how to focus on their schoolwork. So we have had a number of different presenters come in to help with the mental wellness of students.
I think a part, Cassandra, of what we're seeing students dealing with is not only the sort of the stress of managing so much online content, but also not having that disconnect opportunity. When we drive into campus, when we take a bus into campus, that's a little bit of downtime between classes, between, the go. But it seems like what my students tend to say is that they just don't feel like they have any downtime, where it goes from like so much to none that they don't even want to be on their screens, which is interesting. I find that very interesting. Like, I don't want to be on my screen outside of class. I'm on my screen all day. So it almost seems, and Alan, maybe you'll agree, and having young people of our own that we're experiencing this stuff through, there seems to be this shift in what is good for us and what we think is good for us versus maybe what we thought we did was good for us 2 years ago as it relates to social media and technology and all of that. So it almost seems like some of the younger students kind of had to grow up pretty quickly to understand this concept of self-care and mental wellness and things that they just maybe wouldn't have, at least at this time in their lives. Does that make sense? And what do you think about that?
You know, you had mentioned something, and I want to say that I did scale back on the Welcome Back Days event because I know students they're Zoomed out, in other words. So they are in classes on Zoom and going through student support services via Zoom. So I cut back on the social activities, because I know they're just tired of Zoom. And I know how I feel as well. So I'm placing more focus on the life skill type of activities.
Yeah.
So yeah, I completely understand what students are going through.
Yeah, that makes sense. We are in the WHFR Journal. We are being heard on the FM dial by more people than ever due to some new technology that we have worked towards for a long time and are now implementing at the station. So, Cassandra, it used to be hundreds of thousands of people, but now potentially millions of people that are listening to you. We didn't want to tell you that before the interview to scare you. I'm teasing, of course, but we really are welcoming potentially some new listeners today. This every Friday program, Local News and Views, the WHFR Journal, so proud to bring in representatives of our campus community and our community at large to talk about local and specific issues, and certainly none more important than the well-being of our student community here at Henry Ford College. Just a few minutes left to go, Cassandra. I have to mention one of, to me, the greatest resources that Henry Ford College connects with and provides a bridge to students for, and that is the Hawk's Nest. You mentioned the name Mandy Earle a bit earlier, and she is just a gem in terms of maintaining and coordinating things related to this resource at the college. So for those that are not familiar with what the Hawk's Nest is, both community members and students, would you just give us a quick 1, 2, 3 on what's involved with the Hawk's Nest and how we can get involved in some capacity?
Yeah, the Hawk's Nest is our student food pantry. We know that some students may not have enough food to last through the week. So we offer this service to students to keep them going with their academics, keep them in school. Students may visit the Hawk's Nest on Wednesday or Thursday from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We do prefer appointments, but we know more classes are taking place on campus, so students are welcome to stop by the Hawk's Nest as well, which is in Administration Building, Building L, right across from the UAW Hall. And as far as like faculty, staff, and community members getting involved, we always accept food donations and even monetary donations. So all canned goods, prepackaged goods, And we also offer personal care items too for students, such as toothbrushes, toothpaste, personal items.
Fantastic. Firsthand, so many of us have witnessed experiences where students have literally been able to get through a really bad situation through the support of the Hawk's Nest and keeping them in school, keeping them in a position where they can afford rent. So they have housing, particularly at this time. That's a challenge, of course, for some. And so many other life support systems that are in place through resources like the Hawk's Nest. So we're grateful for that. You'd also talked earlier about counseling services. We have our student outreach and support, tremendous people doing amazing things. We have a lot to brag about. We have a lot to be proud of here at Henry Ford College as it relates to supporting our students, getting them well underway to the next steps in their journey, whether it's the workforce, academic, et cetera. And this stuff doesn't happen without caring individuals behind each of these areas. You are certainly one of those important people, Cassandra. Vision, as we move into this this semester, this year, this 2022 year, vision, specific goals that you've got in mind as we get ready to wrap up. What's most important to you? You mentioned wellness for students, which certainly is critical, but anything on your mind that you want to jump into moving forward, some thoughts that you want to
hear? Yes, thank you, Susan. Yeah, I would like students to get involved to make the most of their college experience and their college education. They really don't know what they're missing until they're actually participating in what we have to offer. I know some students think it may not benefit them, but it will. It's part of the growth and development process. So I hope that students come contact the Office of Student Activities and get involved in some capacity. And for now, all of our activities are virtual, but if the traffic picks up on campus in the middle of the semester, then we will have a few on-campus activities as well. So I'm trying to meet students where they are.
So a great place to start that is going to be the Welcome Back Days Winter 2022, which comes up next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, virtually at hfcc.edu. And certainly that you mentioned that student club fair being one of the more important activities and ways to get to know all of these things that are happening all around you on campus here. So that's probably a great place to start. Although if you really want to impress people with your pop culture knowledge, you might want to jump in for that Kahoot game on Tuesday afternoon as well. As we start Welcome Back Days for Winter 2022 virtually here on the Henry Ford campus. More information available on that at the Henry Ford College website, hfcc.edu. And as you mentioned, if you go in the right-hand side of the screen, upcoming events, January 25th and 26th, you'll see that as part of the calendar there. Should be on that list as you scroll through it there and take a look and register, hopefully in advance, to be a part of these. So that way you'll get the Zoom information in terms of where to go and what time to sign in and stuff like that. Is that that's kind of how it works?
That's how it works. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Cassandra, thank you so much for your time. We wish you a beautiful start to the year. It sounds like you have grabbed 2022 and decided that you're going to make it count. And we appreciate that, as do our students, I'm sure. Stay in touch with us. Let us know as things are going on. I'm sure that we will talk more about the wellness as well as the financial literacy series with some of those very specifically involved in those programs, as well as we continue to be a voice for this campus community and ways for students to get connected and learn as they grow in their education. So we appreciate your time today. Wish you much success as we move forward here into the upcoming month and beyond.
Oh, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. So have a good day. Thank you.
This is the WHFR Journal. Cassandra Fluker, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you on the program. A happy new year to you, and best wishes for the welcome back days. And obviously, anybody who has any needs or interests in terms of finding out resources available on campus for them as students of Henry Ford College, the Student Activities Office will certainly be able, or the Office of Student Activities will be able to help point you in some of the right directions and provide some of those resources. We mentioned the Hawk's Nest and obviously financial literacy workshops coming up, all sorts of things to stay involved with and in touch with through the Office of Student Activities here at Henry Ford College. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw. Great to be with you this Friday afternoon for the WHFR Journal. We have more on the way in just a moment here at 89.3 and WHFR.FM, making waves.
The Henry Ford College Learning Lab is your central location for academic support. They strive to assist students and faculty with techniques that are evidence-based and will increase your academic success. The Learning Lab offers in-person and online services to help you succeed. They offer tutorial assistance provided by faculty, professional, and student tutors, one-on-one academic assistance, including strategies for improving test-taking and studying, workshops and presentations to classes or groups on strategies for learning success, study groups and review sessions on a variety of subjects, hands-on learning resources such as anatomical models in our bone room, computers, printing, copying, and scanning. For more information, please visit hfcc.edu/learnlab.
Welcome back. This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Pleased to be with you this Friday afternoon. I'll be here till 2 o'clock when we'll make way for Kitty Love, who takes us on a trip down Highway 61, a lesson in the blues, Friday afternoons here on WHFR Making Waves. Up next on the WHFR Journal. Now, earlier this week, of course, we celebrated Martin Luther King Day, which was obviously this past Monday, and we thought we would wrap up this week with another episode of a series called Radio Curious on the theme of Dr. King and his impact and legacy. In this particular episode, Radio Curious visits with Oral Massey, who was Mendocino County's first and only black sheriff, to this point at least, who reflects on race and the impact of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on his life. So instead of speaking in broad terms societally what King meant, this is a chance to get up close and personal and look at it at a human scale. The impact of Martin Luther King Jr. on one man. Radio Curious episode here on the WHFR Journal.
Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. To assist in the consideration of the impact of Martin Luther King Jr. on the United States, I invited my friend Oral Massey to join us once again here at Radio Curious. In February 2014, when Massey first visited us, he shared his experiences as the first and so far the only black law enforcement officer in the history of Mendocino County, California. Prior to becoming a deputy sheriff here 23 years ago, Massey served in the United States Marine Corps and was primarily assigned to the Foreign Service Embassy Detail. A native of rural South Carolina, he suffered under the cloud, terror, threats, and fears of racial segregation throughout his childhood and early adult years before joining the Marine Corps. Now, he continues to work part-time as a Mendocino County Deputy Sheriff since his retirement in 2017. When Oral Massey visited the Radio Curious studios on January 14, 2018, we focused on the effect that Martin Luther King Jr. had on his life.
I used to listen to his speeches on the radio, and you know, I saw all the people in their gatherings, but I didn't, as a young person, really understand the impact of what was going on. But, you know, in reflection, you know, when you get older and you begin to look at the past and all what Martin Luther King tried to do and what he has done has been a major impact on social justice today. Even though we have I know that's what people are. We talked about basically black people, a very long way to go, but he was very instrumental, you know, in shaping the future for a lot of policies and things that has a very positive impact on black people today. And I think that he deserved his place in our history. And I don't believe, in my opinion, that he's no less of a person than any of our major figures in history that has contributed so much to this country. And I think that people should celebrate his name in honor.
Putting it into a historical perspective, in the late 60s, early 70s, how old were you then?
12, 13.
And living in South Carolina?
Living in Rock Hill, South Carolina, the rural South.
When there were social problems or issues, I've heard you say that it was better not to call the police, just try and resolve them as you could.
Well, that is basically what happened when you're back in the Deep South, and the police were not your friend. And the black people were very afraid of the police because of the injustices and things that was going on. And if you experience a problem, say, with a white person, and the police would call, you know, black people were pretty sure that regardless of whether the other person was at fault, the police would always err on the side of the white person. So the black people sort of like feared from calling the police because 99% of the time, no justice was served whatsoever.
In your experience as yourself, but also a retired deputy sheriff now working part-time after your retirement here in Mendocino County, how would you characterize the role of police in relationship to black people in our community and beyond?
In contemporary times today?
Yes.
Well, I believe that the police has a role to play, and I think that without any type of, you know, social order where the police are not involved, there'd probably be chaos. But I do believe that more people of color should be involved in the justice system. I think that that's a very clear and shortage of, say, minority police in law enforcement. I think that there are occasions where the police are insensitive to certain issues that relates to black people. And I think there perhaps should be more training that the police should go through and involve in sensitivities and things that will better help the races to get along a lot better.
What would be some examples of training for the areas of insensitivities?
Well, for example, if the police were aware of, say, for empathy, for example, the struggles that black people have gone through, and also to look at someone of a different race or color as an equal, as an individual, as a human being, and put just a little human touch into a conversation or, you know, better treatment. I think one small step, this is a giant step, I think, for, like, mankind. You know, that is what I really believe in.
Oral Massey, can you share with us some of your personal experiences in relation to what you're saying?
Well, I've been living in Ukiah for quite a bit of time. And recently I purchased a new car, and I was driving through town very recently, and I was pulled over. And what the policeman asked me was, did I see this person in a crosswalk? Which I did not see anyone in a crosswalk. My window, my drive side window was down maybe about 4 or 5 inches. And I don't really think that the policeman knew who I was. But once we had a brief conversation, he recognized me and I recognized him. I did not see anyone in the crosswalk. He said there was someone in the crosswalk. You know, I have no reason to doubt him. But I believe that driving in a small town such as Ukiah, and if you're a person of color, you're more prone to get stopped by local law enforcement than any other group if you, say, are a black person. You know, I've had several black people that have talked with me and expressed to me about race incidents that they've had in Mendocino County and how the police. You know, I can't confirm anything like that, but I do know as a black person that the police has a tendency to hone in on certain ethnic groups. You know, I know this from personal experience.
Why is that?
Well, when you're in a culture where you are perceived by the majority as different, and the thing about it is that as an individual, you don't get to determine if you're a minority, whether you are different or not. It's the majority that place that label on you. And once the majority places that label on you, whether you want to be different or not, this is the way the majority sees you. And, of course, if you have the majority that is the ruling majority, it becomes a little more difficult.
Oral, would you share with us your thoughts about your interpretation of the perspective of white people here in Mendocino County towards Martin Luther King having a national day to honor him every January on his birthday?
Well, I can't speak for every, white person in Mendocino County, but I have heard some very disparaging remarks regarding Martin Luther King. Some people said that he was a terrorist and created all kinds of problems. I personally believe that he has really been, an impetus in civil rights movement. I think the Civil Rights Act of 1964, where the outlaw of schools and colleges, he was prominent in getting that desegregation law passed. And in 1965 and 68, where the Fair Housing Act that he was instrumental. And of course, 1965, the Voting Act, where black people had the right to vote. So I think he has made a significant mark in history. But I believe that a large part of the white population don't see Martin Luther King's birthday as legitimate. And I think that's unfortunate based upon all the things that he's done, not only for black people, also for white people also.
I'd like to talk for a minute about the phrase white supremacy and what that refers to, and particularly when it's heard by somebody who had never put those two words together. But before we get there, I'd like to say that we're visiting with Oral Massey, a retired Mendocino County deputy sheriff, and prior to that time, a retired master sergeant in the United States Marine Corps, who served on embassy detail in many different countries around the world. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Oral, can we talk about the phrase white supremacy, and particularly what that phrase might create someone to think if they've never heard it before?
Well, white supremacy neo-Nazi and those type of terms, for me, it's all inclusive. And it is a term whereby, to me, means white people want to remain in control and they want to be separate. And I read one, I can't remember the name, but I think his name was Spencer, Richard Spencer. I think he's a white supremacist. And I believe he had talked about having the United States divided into separate areas, you know, a place where blacks could live separately, whites could live separately, Hispanics, and so forth. I think the idea is just ludicrous. How can you function in a country like America when you have separate states with that is divided by race? So that is one of the things that's kind of, to me, is kind of scary, because when you look at who actually controls the power in America, when we talk about political and economically, you know, I don't feel that black people have the power in to make huge social political changes. They can do a vote. They can, you know, help or place someone into an office. But as far as voting or political or socioeconomic issues, I don't think they have the power to make all those changes, taking a combined effort of not only black, but whites and other groups in order to make a significant change.
Well, in that relationship, let's talk about Barack Obama and Donald Trump.
Well, you know, I always respect the office of the president, regardless of who is in place. It's the office that I respect. And I think that our sitting president, he has done some positive things for America. And I also believe that he has made some very divisive type comments. And I think with Obama, with his administration, he showed a more caring attitude toward, regardless of where you came from or who you are. And I think he was much more empathetic in that area. And he tried to be more inclusive, you know, with everybody. I think our sitting president, as I mentioned before, has made some very disparaging remarks. And his remarks has been like a lightning bolt in the United States and communities, you know, across the country. And I think as the president of the United States, you were in such a important position whereby you could really bring countries together. However, I do understand also that he have to act based upon the majority of people that placed him in office. Anything contradictory to war, that, of course, it would present all kinds of problems for him. And I believe that he is serving as a person for the platform for many people that actually think the way that he does. And the scariest part for me, particularly, is that so many people in America condones what he's doing and consent or agree with the things that he's doing. And I think if it's caused some problems in America.
Oral, last time we spoke in February of 2015, you were an actively employed deputy sheriff here in Mendocino County. Now that you're no longer actively employed, you can work somewhat at your discretion according to the needs of the county. How are things different?
Well, I think the major thing that is different is, you know, a lot of stress has dissipated. That's probably one of the major thing. A lot of the stress, and also I have a lot of free time to do more pleasant things. And, of course, you don't have to do those zillion reports that you always do when you're working as a deputy sheriff. I still get racial slurs tossed at me even today. You know, people remember who I am and the complaints that I once got when I was roaming about the streets, you know, is nil to none. So that is a very positive for me. But people still remember who I am, and they still say hello and all of that. So everything has not been negative by far. I think it's a change for the better for me. I enjoy my status now. You know, I really don't mind doing what I'm doing now for a while. So things begin to, you know, to shape up in a very positive way for me since leaving my full-time employment.
Have things changed for the better for people of color in your observation here on a local level and on a greater statewide and national level?
Well, I think the people of color are constantly making progress, you know, throughout America. There needs to be a lot more progress. I think the county here in Mendocino needs to have more diversity, you know, within the county, working in various areas of the government, et cetera. You know, since I was hired with the sheriff's office over 20-something years ago, you know, there's still, to my knowledge, has not been another person of color that has worked with the sheriff's office. Nor do I know of any person of color that worked with local law enforcement. So I think these agencies and the county overall needs to put more effort into perhaps hiring more people of color and becoming more diversified.
How can we make that happen?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the people that are here. Maybe if they're more warm and welcoming, and, you know, I've heard numerous comments about how racist Mendocino County is, you know, not only from the small number of people of color here, but even from outside of Mendocino County. And to some extent, it is true. Mendocino County is a very racist, to me, in my opinion, is racist. And you probably wouldn't know that if it did not affect you at all. But I, you know, I'm a person of color, and I know I've experienced it since when I first got here, and I even experienced it today. And I grew up, you know, in South Carolina, where, you know, racism is very prevalent, and it continues. So I'm not speaking from a point of guessing. I'm speaking from a point of, you know, where I've actually experienced it then, and I experience it now.
When you experience it now, what is your response to the circumstance at the time?
Well, normally I don't respond. It is it creates more of a problem to try to respond to something like that. I think of the person as being ignorant. It is very difficult if someone has ingrained in his or her mind about the ethnicity, or if this person is actually prejudiced against another person. It's extremely difficult to try to even have this person change his or her mind, or try to talk to the person to try to convince the person. So I normally don't respond at all. I normally just walk the other way, or look the other way, or totally disregard the comments.
Can you give us some examples to which you would not respond?
Well, people have called me the N-word numerous times.
Recently?
I was driving on the roadway. I was actually on duty. This was about, what, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, driving a patrol car up North State Street. And I had to stop for the stoplight, and someone drove past me in a little pickup truck and called me the N-word as he was passing me. You know, I totally ignored it, and And the light change kept going like it never existed. So things like that, you know, one can't say it doesn't bother you, but you learn to let it roll off your back. Because chances of trying to convince that person that he or she is wrong is nil to none. For me, it's much easier to not respond or just walk away.
If you were to settle down in your mind and reach the soul or the core of your being, how would you describe that place?
It would be a place where the color of your skin would be secondary. It wouldn't be the primary focus of what most people would look at when they're trying to determine your socioeconomic status and those type of things. It would be great to be in a place like where the color of your skin doesn't matter, only the content of your character. That would be a place that I would want to live.
Well, Laurel Massey, I want to thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious. And before we close, the questions I like to ask, which you did answer perhaps differently 3 years ago than you would today, begin with, can you tell us about a eureka or an aha moment that changed your life?
Well, let's see here. I believe when I sat down and I decided that, you know, I've worked enough, hard enough for the last 40 years or so. And when I actually felt like I was like a human again, I suppose, to get out and really meet new people and talk to them, mingle with them. Not only here in Mendocino County, but you know, outside of Mendocino County, and actually socialize a lot more. You know, I knew that part of life was I was really like missing. And I think once you're involved in law enforcement, you know, you become conservative, and you know, you can't express yourself or do things that you don't want to do based upon your position and all of that. And since I'm not really in that situation fully now, I think I can express myself a lot more. And I think, and I know that I'm having a lot more fun. So I think retirement, you know, from the full-time sheriff's office was a, was probably a very positive thing for me, and I, you know, I don't regret it at all. I enjoy where I am today.
So what would you like to do with the remainder of your one precious life?
Well, it's, you know, I've traveled before, of course. You know, I'd like to see more of the United States, you know, internally. I would like to go back abroad again and visit places. Traveling, you know, within and outside of the United States, that's the main thing on my agenda now.
And finally, Oral Massey, is there a book that you could recommend to our listeners?
If anyone is interested in what it was like for me and my career being a law enforcement officer in a rural town like Mendocino County, I really suggest one book you should read, and that is the Jackie Robinson story. I have read articles regarding those type of issues and all that, but I think the closest thing would be the Jackie Robinson story, or I think there's a movie out that you could watch. And you would have probably the closest idea of what it was like for me in Mendocino County as a deputy sheriff for all those years.
Oral Massey, thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
You're very welcome.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I just keep on walking, keep on talking, marching on a freedom land. Can't let them turn me around, Lord, turn me around. Ain't gonna let nobody
me around. I just keep on walking, you know, I keep on because I'm marching on a freedom land. Ain't gonna let no jailhouse hey, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let no jailhouse turn me around, you know, I keep on, I just keep on because I'm marching on a freedom land. I can't let segregation turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let segregation turn me around. I just keep on walking, keep on talking, marching on a freedom land.
Can't Turn Me Round, the civil rights song you just heard, is performed by The Roots. Our guest, Oral Massey, is retired from the United States Marine Corps, where he served in the Foreign Embassy Detail. He is also a retired Mendocino County Deputy Sheriff. The book that Oral Massey recommends is I Never Had It Made, an autobiography of Jackie Robinson, by Jackie Robinson and Alfred Duckett. This program was recorded on January 14, 2018. There are over 630 archive editions on our website, www.radiocurious.org. The email address is curious@radiocurious.org. The phone is 707-462-6541. Christina Onnestad is our assistant producer. I'm host and producer Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.
You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Yeah, join me, the White Rabbit, here on the Hot Wax Radio, Sundays at the new time, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., on the station that's making waves, WHFI.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio featuring local and independent artists.
That's why my